Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a peaceful weekend. As we all continue to come out of the astounding, kind of epic, apocalyptic experience of the last few months, a profound shaking of the nations that's going on, you know, the troubled hearts that so many of us have, the battle with try to understand what the Lord's doing in this moment and why he's permitting these things to happen, what's his message through it, I think is one of the most important things we want to be able to lay hold of. Always understanding, you know, the words of Jesus to us as he reminds us what life in this world is like, that the world, the earth, is a battlefield, right, between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And it's troubled because men's hearts are troubled, because we're still in a battle between the world of flesh and the devil. And it literally is a battleground. It's a spiritual battleground. And I think sometimes we've lived in so much peace and have had, relatively speaking, very little trouble here in the United States as compared to many other places. It can be really difficult when we do experience it. But the Lord certainly permits it to happen. And he warned us ahead of time. He said, be clear of this. He spoke to his disciples and he wants us to internalize the things that he says to us. And he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. It's unavoidable. So what's his response to it? It's surprising a bit. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. So even in the midst of difficult trials, he's not saying we're not going to experience the emotional challenge of it, the deep spiritual battle that's in the midst of it, that we need to fight. We need to draw the sword out and fight against our enemy, the devil who wants to lead us into a kind of a downward spiral of discouragement that's rooted in fear, and the fear of being alone and isolated and afraid of what the future might bring, the afraid of being harmed, the afraid of having our lives disrupted in a way that it feels out of control. Those are normal human responses. But what Jesus always reminds us, he said, okay, you're going to have moments like this where anxiety grips you, where fear grips you, but I want you to remember something so that you can walk in peace. And what I want you to remember is that you're in my hands, that I'm with you always, that I promise to never leave you, that if you're baptized into Christ, he dwells in you as in a temple. This week, the church is taking us through the Gospel of Matthew, parts of the Gospel of Matthew, that give tremendous teaching from the Lord to the apostles about their call and what it is they're going to face and how to respond to what they're facing. So I want to touch on some of that today from chapter 10. The main reading comes in Matthew 10, 26 and following, but what precedes it, the section on Jesus' warning of the coming persecutions that will come to the apostles, these are all things that are part of the counting the cost of following Jesus, but also taking in his words and his understanding about the reality of what we will encounter in this world and what we can count on, what's meant to be the source of our strength. Because the way Jesus speaks to us, it's pretty clear he expects us and he wants us to have an expectant faith that no matter what kind of troubles we encounter in this life, that if we lean into him, if we listen to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us, if we yield to that grace of the Spirit and follow Jesus' leadership, there's no circumstance that we can't live through and live through in peace, no matter how troubling, no matter how difficult. Ultimately, because he wants us to know how much he's with us, how much he values us, how close he is, and the strength and the power that he's given to us in the Holy Spirit. So here's Matthew 10, verse 16. Jesus says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. It means wise as a serpent, be clever. Keep your eyes open. Be innocent as a dove. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Don't give into the temptations of the world to respond to challenging situations in a way that's unhealthy. An example of this is, you know, a few weeks ago, the riots that we were experiencing at an intense level in the country. We're still struggling through that stuff. Something happened, the death of George Floyd, which was a horrendous act of injustice. It was evil, it was wrong, And the vast majority of people who saw it, probably 99% of the people who actually saw the video, agreed with it. It could have been a moment of amazing unity to be able to stand for the right thing together. But some people did just that and had a really, I think, heroic response to it. But at the same time, there was disordered responses to it. Instead of being as wise as a serpent and understanding what's the reality of that, what actually happened in this situation, and see with the Lord's eyes the depth of it, not only the broken heart the Lord has that one of his children was unjustly killed, but also that one of his children had fallen into so much pride and evil that he became an instrument of it. And you could almost see the battle between the two kingdoms at some level present in it, but how the enemy used this thing to light a spark, you know, to spark tremendous chaos. And Jesus is saying to us here, look, when things happen and confront us, be wise, read it as it is, walk in the truth, but be as innocent as a dove. Let your response correspond to the truth of God, the wisdom of God, the light of God, what love actually looks like, love of God, love of neighbor, and walk in that. He goes on here and says, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them to the Gentiles. It's amazing how, you know, we read these and we hear these and it's Bible talk, but think about being one of the apostles, and Jesus is saying, here's where your mission's going to lead you. It's unavoidable. Just get ready for it. And when it happens, don't run from it. Don't let it crush you. Don't let it cause you to compromise. Don't worry about it. And he's very blunt and very clear about what they're up against and what they will suffer. He said, when they deliver you up, don't be anxious about how you're to speak or what you are to say. Jesus exhorts us in this way often, you know, don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. If I examine my own life over the last number of weeks, I certainly had moments of anxiety. And when our hearts are troubled in a way that we're not just recognizing something that's objectively disturbing or challenging, but if we don't yield to God's grace and power within us, anxiety can build and we get filled with fear. And then the wrong kind of fear drives us. Instead of living in the fear of the Lord, like we heard about it, confirmation and the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61, the spiritual gift of the fear of the Lord is meant to help us in moments like this. He said, so the Lord will give you what you need in the moment. He said, brother will deliver a brother to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. These are really intense, dramatic times, and we know for sure, he's saying that this is going to happen even in their lifetime, but we also know the warnings Jesus gives at the end of Matthew's gospel and in other places, that just prior to the Lord's return, when the rise of the Antichrist will take place in human history, and all the birth pains that are going to emerge and the conflicts that will happen and the hostility ultimately led by the Antichrist when he's sort of taken his throne in the world and he's going to lead a persecution against the church. And it's going to cause many people to compromise, many people to turn away from the Lord, many people to go with the flow. And this kind of reality that he's describing right here is going to happen in the world. It's a real sign of how deep the battle between the kingdoms is in this world. This world is not heaven. It's not our home. It really is a battlefield. Despite the fact that how much we don't want it to happen, we're grateful for the peace that the Lord has allowed us to live in for quite a long time. But that's not the permanent condition of most of the world throughout history. There's real spiritual battle and real spiritual conflict. And Jesus is trying to prepare them for it. And then he says this, and you will be hated. Let me repeat it. He said, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. There's a time in our country when people were honored at a high level because of their identification with the Lord, whether it be like the Cardinal of New York or the Cardinal of Chicago or political leaders that were very devout. They were honored and they were esteemed by society. Well, that's going away now. That's going away now because the culture is no longer a Christian culture. We don't live in a Christian culture. We live in a post-Christian culture. And there's powers and there's forces that are rising that are hostile to Christianity. And it's always have to remember what's at the root of that hostility is a work of the enemy. It's the work of the devil that tries at all times to kind of move in society and culture and to dethrone the order that the Lord has established and put in people's hearts. And there's always going to be this temptation, this reality of what Jesus is describing here, is that what will rise up in society and culture is hatred. Hatred for you as a serious disciple. And that hatred is directed toward the Lord. And Jesus makes that clear. He said, when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Verse 24, he said, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, like really calling Jesus under the power of Satan or Satan working through him, how much more will they malign those of his household? So Jesus said, here's the cost in the world of being identified with me. So Jesus experienced it himself directly. He looked at it squarely. He understood the nature of the spiritual combat that the people of God live in throughout history. It comes in different times, in different levels of intensity. The devil's strategy is different. But at its heart is a profound hatred for God that's present in Satan. And he hates those who bear the image of God. And so what he tries to do is he tries to play on our fears. He tries to play on the weakness of our flesh, our concupiscence, and get us to fear it, to live in the fear of men rather than in the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because it rightly orders us to reality, to God. God is the ultimate fearful reality. And what I mean by that is his holiness, his greatness, his power, his magnitude. And the most foolish thing anybody could possibly ever do is to not be aligned with God or to choose a way of thinking, a way of living, a way of acting that contradicts God's will. It's the epitome of foolishness. So the fear of the Lord reminds us, oh, it fills us with tremendous awe and a kind of holy terror. That's a good thing because it reminds us who God is and his majesty and his holiness. And it helps us think clearly about how to live. It grounds us. It gets our attention to pay attention to what is really true. But at the same time, what's pulling on us all the time, what the devil plays at, is the fear of men. What he often wants us to do is to get trapped, to lead us into a place where we're afraid of being rejected by men, especially powerful people, influential people. We don't want to have to face their disapproval, their rejection, because we kind of feel like somehow they hold all the power, somehow hold the power to our happiness and our ultimate peace in this world. Instead of relying radically on Jesus and wherever that leads us, we end up yielding to the fear of men. I want to talk about this more tomorrow because I think it's a very big deal. And it's a big deal in the church and something the Lord wants us to be able to see clearly and to walk in, and to walk in the holy, healthy fear of God. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.